Larry, nice enough to take some time out of his day off to join us now. Hey, Larry. Thanks for some time today on Express Bet Radio.
How are you?
Doing well. A lot drier than this weekend, my friend.
Yeah, things are a little bit better right now. The sun is shining, and it's warm here in New Jersey where I am. In fact, I'm getting ready in a little while to go to the gym. I know that that's your plan, too, later on today, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, no, you know what? What's today, Wednesday? No, I'm not. No, Wednesdays. No Wednesdays in 2018. Wednesdays in 2021. I don't go back to the gym till 2021.
Gotcha.
That Wednesday. Yeah. Penn probably put you up to that. So you've been calling races. You've been calling races the better part of the last three decades, and you've called them everywhere. Can you remember conditions like that? For as prolonged an amount of time as that weather persisted down in Baltimore?
Well, as far as bad weathers, I would rank Breeders' Cup at Monmouth as one of those occasions where it just went on and on. And luckily for me, I didn't have to call that Breeders' Cup, but I was a part of it. It was pretty nasty for several days, especially the Friday of Breeders' Cup, the two-day Breeders' Cup schedule. But Saturday wasn't too good either. But as far as, like, when we get to the fog situation, I've definitely called it worse fog than that. We've had days at Monmouth and at Suffolk, especially at Monmouth, where, you just had the entire day of it. And then you're just, running out of material because you're just making stuff up as you go along. So, never in a situation where... it's a major important race, let alone a Triple Crown race.
When the rain stopped, it was almost like new. And for those of you that don't know, when we're down at Pimlico, Larry's booth, for the lack of a better term, is right next to our setup. And, of course, we're joshing around and working all day and having a good time. But we pretty much went through the few days together. I remember saying to myself, and I may even said this to you in the press box, basically like, well, at least the rain stopped and things will get better, because we had that 1 hour where there was nothing going on. It looked like it was going to be a great day. And then the aforementioned fog just rolled in, and it was almost as if the closer we got to post time, the worse it got.
It did. It just kept getting worse and worse. And I remember earlier in the day, the meteorologist for the local TV station in Baltimore was up on the roof not too far from us. And it's about 1 o'clock. I walked up to him and I'm like, hey, how's it look? And he says, well, it looks like the rain's probably done. He says, I think we're going to be okay. Well, I didn't ask anything about fog. I guess I should have asked him about that, because we never mentioned that. It just started to set in just as the NBC show started with the undercard races, and then all of a sudden it just got worse and worse. And the Sir Barton, luckily I had that race and then the race before to call from the monitors to get an idea of what was ahead for the Preakness. But the fog was actually worse for the Preakness than those races.
You really did a fantastic job. And NBC actually posted a video on social media of you calling the races, and for the folks that haven't seen it, try and take them through how you dealt, not just the fog, that particular race. Take the folks through how you pretty much just kept going back and forth from live to the TV.
Yeah, there's a few backstories, and first of all, that if you do get a look at that, you'll see that there are two monitors in front of me, and normally for the Preakness, this is the eighth time I've called the Preakness, we did not have those two monitors in front of me. We just had a couple of monitors off to the side for me to watch the show because I would call the race through binoculars. But earlier in the week, we decided that we needed to put in two monitors up there because of all of the new concert stages and tents in the infield that blocked the view in certain areas. And because of that, I had the two monitors there. So my setup was a monitor on the left, a monitor on the right, and in the middle, I have my iPad, which has the program page basically in a PDF file with my notes on it. And You'll also notice in the middle of the race that iPad goes off on me, and I have to punch it a few times with my finger to get it to come back. It went to sleep in the middle of the Preakness. But basically, when they broke out of the gate, I called the shot off the monitor. They ran for about an eighth of a mile around the 16th pole. They came into view, called them with the naked eye until they make their way into the clubhouse turn. Then they disappeared again. Then it was all monitor until they came back to the 16th pole. So I basically just called what the NBC shots were showing on the TV off the monitor, which is pretty rare for me to have to do. But that's all you could do to actually see the race.
Yeah, I was going to say, for people that have had the privilege, like I have, just hanging out in the booth with you, and for the folks that take part up at Saratoga for the charity for Race 3 up at Saratoga, the last thing you, and really a lot of your predecessors here, especially at NYRA, have done is go to that monitor. But take it from somebody that was there firsthand, folks, there was no other choice this past Saturday. Just an amazing, I mean, your call, Larry, it was terrific.
Do you think so? Well, thank you. That's very, very nice of you to say, and I appreciate that terminology too.
Talking with Larry Comas, voice of NYRA, the Breeders' Cup, and of course the Triple Crown. He mentioned 8 Preaknesses, which means he'll be calling his 8th Belmont Stakes for NBC this Saturday. Not this Saturday, but on June 9th, I should say. And he'll be getting ready to call another crack at another Triple Crown, American Pharoah 2015. Any less pressure going into this one?
Yeah, well, I don't know if there's less pressure. I don't think there's any less. I just think it's different, you know, because American Pharoah was going to be something that hadn't happened in 37 years. Now we're talking about something that hasn't happened in 3 years, but it's still, there's only been 12. And it's still, you know, a huge historical moment that you want to get right. So, you know, I'll have to make sure I'm prepared when the time comes. I've sort of taken a step back the last few days, and obviously you start thinking about things, about the race, because you can't help yourself. But I just wanted to sort of let myself relax for a little bit until I got back to work at Belmont and started to, you know, start to really dig in and prepare for this thing. But, yeah, I mean, it's still the Belmont Stakes with the Triple Crown on the line, even though it happened 3 years ago. I'm sure Chick Anderson didn't want to mess up Seattle's lose call, even though he called Secretariat 4 years before. So, you know, you have to be on your game.
Do you practice the fist pumping on these off days?
I don't even know I'm doing it, to be honest with you. That's something that just sort of comes out. I think it's a combination of just the moment itself being exciting and the utter relief that the race call is over and you survived it.
Well, you did a fantastic job this past Saturday. We've come to expect nothing less. And, of course, you'll be able to hear Larry right here tomorrow on Express Bet Radio as Belmont Park resumes live racing and as we creep closer to Belmont Stakes 150 and a chance for our second Triple Crown winner in 4 years. Larry, thanks for some time today. I won't see you at the gym today, probably ever. Enjoy your workout, my friend.
All right, buddy. We'll see you at beautiful Belmont Park.